another day. Another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler.
Hi folks, this is Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. It's always one man's view of the changing world and the changing times and the things that we can all do to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. Today is episode 101, coming out of the Thanksgiving long holiday weekend, which I have to tell you, other than tooling around in my greenhouse and starting a few more seeds for some winter crops, I didn't do a whole lot. I really spent this time with my family just relaxing and enjoying being home, and I hope you did the same thing, and I hope if you listened to my 100th episode, I hope it had some impact on your view of your Thanksgiving holiday, and I hope you and your family had a great holiday. Moving on to this week and a whole new month, and kind of turning the page with 100 episodes of the show behind us, I thought that today we would discuss the threat of genetically modified foods and the company that is most behind them. They're not the only ones out there, but they're the ones that are most behind them. And they're the ones that when any of their competitors start to really make strides, they just, you know, kind of move over there and buy them out. So that company is, of course, Monsanto. And I'm going to talk about the threat that this stuff poses today in a way that maybe you haven't heard before, maybe you have, I'm not sure. But I really want to lay down kind of in the beginning a couple minutes on the history of this company, who they are, who we're supposed to be trusting that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing right now, and some of the almost unbelievable facts in on the ground in this whole issue. Before I do, I want to say one thing about last week's listener appreciation contest. I had more participation in that one than I've ever seen before. I think it was in the neighborhood of around 300 responses. So maybe I should have given away people, you know, much higher in the response. I should have put the bogeys a little higher, at least some of them. One thing, though, for you guys out there, still a chance to win the gun safe if you didn't hear from me yet, because the gentleman that won is a gentleman named Chris Noe, N-O-E. And, Chris, I sent you an email almost immediately after your email came in to me. I'm waiting for your shipping information. I'm going to send Chris an email this morning. I will give him to close of business today to claim his prize. If he doesn't, I'll give it away to the 60th respondent in that list. And trust me, there's a hell of a lot more. I'm just adding 20 and picking another person. So if you got your response in any time early in the day, look for an email tomorrow if Mr. No doesn't claim his prize. You may end up with his gun safe. So that'll be cool, and that comes, of course, from centerofmass.com, and they have a whole line of in-car gun safes that you should check out, as they are our sponsor. Also want to let you know that we'll be giving away some more of the tactical Christmas stockings, but Mr. Willis, John Willis over at SOE Tactical Gear, just also sent me some single-point slings. He sent me 5 of them. These are like a single-point tactical sling. They can either use be for like a tactical carbine, or they can be used for any gun that you would carry, even hunting or you know, just bouncing around the bush, so to speak. There's definitely, hold on, folks, dealing with the police with a pullover here. I don't want to get too close to them. Anyway, John sent these tactical slings, and like I said, they could be used by hunters as well. I'll post the link from today's show so you can take a look at them. He sent me 5. He said you can keep one and give the rest away, or you can give them all away. He knows I like black, and these are all OD green. I put one on my Hardpoint carbine just to check it out. I absolutely loved it, so I'm going to keep be greedy and keep one of these for myself, keep it in the Spirko household. And maybe if he sends me a black one in the future, I'll give the OD green one away, but don't bet on it. So I'm going to be giving away 4 of those coming soon, too. And real quick on SOE Tactical Gear, it's another one of our sponsors of the contest. When he sent me the stockings, I could tell they were well made, but they weren't something you pick up and you put into a gun and put into, you know, on your body. When I got these slings and put them on my body, I realized the quality that SOE Tactical Gear really exudes. And their stuff isn't the cheapest out there, but it's American made, right in the heart of the country in Tennessee. And they listen to the show. The people that build this equipment listen to our show every day. They're good people. Take a look at their whole lineup and see if there's anything there that makes make sense for you, or maybe as a gift this holiday season. Okay, moving on to Monsanto and who these people really are. Monsanto started in 1901, and before I go forward with who they are, maybe you should know why. They are the largest agricultural and seed company in the world today. They manufacture herbicides, pesticides, and genetically modified seeds, and they hold patents on literally thousands of seeds, some of which they've developed, many of which have been in existence for a long time. In other words, when it comes to who has the biggest influence and control over our agricultural system in the United States today, it is Monsanto. These people, you're probably eating food every day that one way or another their company has touched. That's why we're talking about them. One of the first things that they did back in 1901 when they were founded was they brought the concept of putting caffeine in Coke to Coca-Cola. See, the original Coca-Cola didn't have any caffeine in it. It did have cocaine in it, but we'll let that slide. At least that was a natural ingredient that was not really altered, where Monsanto figured out how to extract caffeine as an alternative, because Coke was, of course, having to give up putting cocaine due to some bad presses, I guess they were warranted, which gave the name Coke to itself, but there was no caffeine in Coke. So they put caffeine in Coke. Not that bad, right? Not a big deal. Down the road, they also were the first company to develop the product of saccharin. And they also went to one of their oldest customers by that time, Coca-Cola, and created Diet Coke with saccharin in it. Saccharin, of course, has now been proven to cause cancer in laboratory animals, yet it's still sold on store shelves all over the world, particularly in the United States. Moving on from there, they eventually developed the artificial sweetener aspartame, okay? Again, not the most awful thing in the world, but again, another thing that's been proven under certain circumstances to be highly toxic. Aspartame, particularly right off the shelf, if it's handled properly, there's not a lot of evidence that's really that dangerous in of itself. But what happens is, of course, this stuff is transported on trucks, and when it's heated up above 100 degrees multiple times, it tends to change chemically and becomes quite toxic. But they, of course, tell us it's okay. And it's still available everywhere, and there's no requirements that it be shipped in any type of either refrigerated or at least somewhat cooled environment, so nothing prevents that. And if you've ever been in a warehouse that stores non-perishables, you can imagine that 100 degrees is not really a stretch. So, you know, those are kind of the things that are not that bad. Well, what else do these guys do? Now, if you go to their About Us page, you won't see anything about the stuff that I'm fixing to talk about, even though these are brands that, you know, everybody in the world knows, and pretty prestigious work, working for the United States government and United States Department of Agriculture and things like that, but yet they don't seem very proud of these things, and I guess I wouldn't be either. You see, Monsanto developed DDT and Agent Orange. Okay? They brought us DDT and Agent Orange, and you know, they said that DDT was safe, and they fought it right up into the late 70s when it was finally banned, and by that time, everybody knew that this stuff was toxic, and it was killing us, and it was more than killing us, it was killing off diversity. It was killing birds by the thousands. It was killing all different species of birds, and the birds, of course, are a very important part of the ecosystem. They're a natural form of pest control. Why do you need the birds? I mean, we're killing all the bugs with the DDT, etc. And so DDT was found to be just an awful product and eventually banned, as it should have been. And then Agent Orange, you know, that stuff that we, the defoliant that we dumped on the jungles of Vietnam. And we infected and caused harm to tens of thousands of U.S. servicemen, many of whom had been drafted into service who didn't even want to be there, but did their duty when they got a letter in the mail and went off to war. Or that we eventually pulled out of and realized was a mistake. And an estimated 400,000 Vietnamese children have been born with birth defects that are believed to be directly attributed to Agent Orange. But Monsanto always told us that Agent Orange was completely safe and not to worry about it. Just what kind of build a history here for you so you start to really get who we're trusting. Because when you get down to the food issue here at the end, there's almost no federal oversight, and we're trusting their word and their word alone. Then they, they came out with a little thing called bovine growth hormone, which has been just a boom for the dairy industry and getting cows up to speed faster so they can produce, five times the milk that they're supposed to produce, living a life that's not even worth living for a cow. And, of course, those hormones have ended up in our milk supply and, therefore, in the dairy products throughout our country, and we're feeding our children tracer remnants of bovine growth hormone every time we give them a glass of milk. The American Dairy Association, some group of dairy farmers that produce milk without using hormones and without feeding genetically modified food and, just the good old-fashioned way, tried to put out some milk a while ago and put on the label, no GMOs. Now, they didn't say, we're not Monsanto or whatever. All they said is that we'd have no genetically modified organisms, completely organic milk, and they were sued and prevented from doing so because the court ruled that if you were allowed to label something as not having genetically modified organisms in the food supply, it could damage the other food's sales. So the fact that it might get people to buy, because that's what people want, was considered too damaging to allow. All right? Monsanto's behind that little bit as well, because some of this genetically modified food I'm going to talk about in a minute is being produced by Monsanto and then fed to the cattle, which is ending up with GMOs in the milk. Because when a cow eats something and digests it, it doesn't fully digest it. It converts it into milk so that it can pass it along to its calf. That's what we're drinking when we drink milk, or we're eating when we eat cheese. Keep that in mind. Trust me, folks. I'm going to get to where this all matters here in just a minute. They also brought us the infamous PCB. They told us PCBs were completely harmless, not to worry about them, even though as far back as the 1920s and 30s when they were first released, there were immediately people saying, hey, man, this stuff seems to be bad news. Back in the 30s, a worker from a plant went home, had some on their clothing, brushed their child's face with their clothing, and they immediately broke out into severe acne, and I mean overnight. They say, hey, wait a minute, if it does this, we're putting in all these electronics and things like that. This can't be good. Well, Sandoz said, no, and they fought, and for years and years and years, they continued to manufacture PCBs. They dumped massive amounts of PCB-laden waste in a little town called Anniston, Alabama, where children are being born all the time now with birth defects. People are sick. They have illnesses. Monsanto covered everything up. I won't go into this. It could be an entire hour just on Anniston, Alabama. Let me just put it to you this way. They did a lot of things that were immoral and some things that were illegal to cover up what they were doing in Anniston, Alabama. When they got caught, they basically said they were proud of what they did. It was necessary to protect their company. Okay? You can read as much as you want to about it. Just keep in mind, these are the people that we're now supposed to trust with our food supply. And I'll tell you to that what extent that is. Just want to build this up for you and get you ready to understand it. Okay, so this is the history of this company. And yes, I brought out the negative. I didn't bring out the positive, okay? But I promise you, I didn't bring out all of the negative. There are entire documentaries, 1-2-hour documentaries available on YouTube. I'll post some links to those as well, where you can learn about Monsanto and what they've been doing and what they've been up to. All right. And as you read, you'll be shocked to find out the things that this company has done, how tight they are interwoven with our government. And that may be the biggest shock of all for people to realize how many people have been senior management people or senior research people inside of Monsanto, gone to work for the FDA or gone to work for the Department of Agriculture, then gone back to work for Monsanto, then gone back to work for government, then gone back. So they go and they work for Monsanto, they develop something, then they get placed into a government position where they help get that thing approved or at least ensure there's no resistance to it, and then they go back to Monsanto and help develop something else, and they go back to the government. And it's incestuous. This is Monsanto is the epitome of fascism in the way that they work with our government. The way that the two are intertwined with each other is almost sickening. At least it should be sickening. All right? So what have they been up to lately? Monsanto was into all these chemicals and herbicides and artificial sweeteners and stuff like that. Well, there's probably at least one thing that you're familiar with. Even if you don't have ever heard the name Monsanto before, there's a name out there that you've heard that's directly related to Monsanto and directly related to a lot of things they're doing when it comes to genetically modifying the food that we consume. All right? And that is Roundup. Almost every American, I would imagine, most of our international listeners, if you've ever been to a home improvement store, a garden store, you've seen a product called Roundup, which basically kills anything you spray it on. It's a weed killer, is how it's marketed. Well, one of the first genetic modifications that Monsanto made to its seed was to determine a way to modify at the DNA level seeds of soybean and canola that would allow them to be sprayed with Roundup and not die. So this is how this works. You buy the Roundup Ready soybeans or the Roundup Ready canola seed from Monsanto. First thing you do is you get Roundup and you spray your field with Roundup. And then you plant. And then when your seeds come up and they're just a little bit, you know, high enough, you know, a couple feet high, you go spray the whole field again with Roundup again. And you spray the Roundup right on top of your soybeans, right on top of your canola. Kills all the weeds and it doesn't kill your soy and it doesn't kill your canola. And your crops grow completely free of weeds. Sounds cool, doesn't it? Right? Here's the problem with this. We've taken and we've gone in and we've molecularly changed the DNA of these two items, these two seeds, canola and corn. All right? And you say, well, I thought we're not eating that corn. Well, technically, that kind of corn that they've done this with is really not the kind of corn you go out and throw on your grill and grill up in the summertime and eat with some butter and salt on it. But it is used in animal feeds, which the animals eat, and then we eat the animals, and it is being used, whether they want to admit it or not, it is being used in the production of all these corn products that go into our food. Corn meals. High fructose corn syrup, which is in anything that's being sweetened today. As far as canola, how about the oil that you buy? Canola oil is supposed to be the safe oil, the good oil. Anybody that knows their stuff about nutrition knows it's not exactly as safe as we're told, even outside of this. But when you go and you cook in canola oil, or you eat something that has canola oil in the ingredients, massive amounts of canola are now being produced with this Roundup Ready stuff. Now, let's say you say, well, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm not going to buy this mass-produced product. So how can this hurt me? Oh, it can hurt you because canola and corn are both products that pollinate openly. So what happens is, you know, a farmer puts in the canola field. And across the street, there's another guy growing canola. And you end up with cross-pollinization from one field to the next. You see, the problem with when you take and you tamper with a life form, it's not like, you know, making a new type of computer system that can only work with inside other computer systems. When you introduce a modified life form into the world, it moves. It doesn't stay contained. So Farmer A's field contaminates Farmer B's field. Now, you want to know how bad this gets. What happens then is Monsanto comes in to Farmer B, who never planted this shit, who had just had his crop infected with their seed, and sues him successfully for theft of their patented material. Because yes, folks, they're patenting a life form. They have a patent on the seed. So as the seed spreads, they use their patent to go in and close down farms of other producers. Now, if I haven't infuriated you yet, if you're not upset yet, give me a few more moments. I know this may not be the cup of tea for many of you guys out there, but just give me a few more moments. What else happens here? Well, one of the real benefits of planting soybeans has been that soy is a legume, fixes nitrogen to the soil. So a lot of farmers might plant a crop of soy for a season, and then the next, maybe a later crop, they would plant corn behind it. They would get a massive amount of nitrogen into the soil from the soybeans. They would have to use very little fertilizer to fertilize their corn, or a greatly reduced amount, and they certainly would have to use any nitrogen-based fertilizer whatsoever to get their soybeans to grow. Oh, but this genetically modified soy seems to be mutating in a way where it doesn't quite fix nitrogen the same way anymore. So now the farmers have to use more, not less, fertilizer. All right. So who makes the fertilizer? Well, Monsanto's got that covered too. We have fertilizer for you. Don't worry about it. You need fertilizer? Here you go. Oh, and yet it gets even worse. Because nature doesn't sit still when you start to do something to tamper with it. So it used to be that people would only spray a herbicide, a weed killer, when they absolutely had to, because it could have a detrimental effect on their own crops. So it was used very sparingly. Now that your soybeans won't die, your canola won't die, you just spray it whenever the weeds become a problem. So we're spraying more. Just like antibiotics in the human system, what starts to happen? Weeds, with their own resistance to Roundup, begin to develop. And you end up with weeds you can't kill, and you have to spray more and more and more. And who do you buy the seeds from when you need to seed at a higher rate? Monsanto. Who do you buy the herbicide from when you have to spray at a higher rate? Monsanto. And who do you buy the fertilizer from when you have to fertilize crops that didn't used to need fertilization? Monsanto. And what are we talking about here? The very food supply that supplies the world's food. And Monsanto markets itself is trying to save the world from hunger. And that's the truth. And everything I'm telling you today can be verified and looked up. Anything you don't believe, take a look. Just go to Google, type in a few terms, start doing some research on your own. I'll put links up. Do your own research. You'll find out that everything I'm telling you is dead on. So, if that wasn't enough, here's what Monsanto's realized, that this whole, you know, genes getting out into the biosphere and allowing people to steal their patented seeds, if you want to call it that, or in my view, having them contaminate the seeds of people that don't want their genes in it, they realized this is a problem and they needed to do something about it, so they've started developing something called a terminator gene. But here's how a terminator gene works. I put a terminator gene into my corn crop, my special seed. And then what happens is it absolutely makes sure, and you know there's fertility issues with certain hybrids and things like that, where you can't save the seed, but the reality is a lot of these things, the seed can be saved. And certainly they don't infect other organisms in a way that basically kills themselves. Well, a terminator gene does just that. It terminates itself after one generation. So now I sell you my genetically modified soybeans that are designed to work with my herbicide Roundup, and I put a terminator gene in it, so that there's absolutely no way you can save any of your own seed as a farmer. You will have to buy 100% of your own seed next year from me, because if you reserve any seed, it'll have this terminator gene in it, and it just won't grow. Remember what I said earlier. When you put something into the biosphere that is a living organism, it will spread. So since we've already seen infection of these genetically modified crops into neighboring crops, we've seen grain trucks spill some grain and seed a farmer's field and infect an entire seed bank. How do we know that the terminator gene won't get out? Odds are it will. And what it'll do is it'll infect another farmer's crops, and that'll prevent him from saving his seed. We'll start to develop a situation where seeds kill themselves. That's what we're taught. That's what these people are doing. They're developing a gene that causes plants to kill themselves. And they're saying, don't worry, trust us, it's perfectly safe. We're going to solve the world's hunger. This is why I spent so much time talking about DDT, Agent Orange, aspartame, saccharin, PCBs. Right? Because this stuff, thanks to what Bush Senior's administration did, particularly Dan Quayle worked very hard on this project, there's almost no regulation of this stuff. And the only reporting that's done to the government is voluntary, and it comes from the companies doing the development. So Monsanto says, here you go, here's our findings. See, it's safe. And the government goes, okay, rubber stamp, go. We need some more information. Yeah, let us put it together. It'll take 5 years. Here it is. See, it's all safe. And then Monsanto takes all this money they're making from this genetic manipulation, puts it into our biological research and development centers at our universities, and basically teaches propaganda that teaches students that this stuff is good. Not to worry about it. It's okay. It's going to save the world. All right? So we just keep going from there, folks, because the next thing that we realize is that, you know, we're not happy just having genetically modified corn, or I mean genetically modified soybeans and genetically modified canola. We need to make some more things Roundup ready. So what's on the way? Wheat and beets. Okay, and you might think, well, I don't eat a lot of wheat. Eat bread. Right now, there's been actually a lot of resistance to GMO wheat. But Monsanto's continuing to research. They have their own fields planted with GMO wheat. So the product exists. It's just a matter of bringing it to the market. And what they're saying is it can destroy farming in the United States for wheat because other countries aren't as dumb as we are and are willing to eat this crap. The Canadians basically threw down the gauntlet and said, that shit's not coming in our country. All right, good for you guys up there for seeing that and laying it down and saying no. So what Monsanto said is, we'll keep working until there's a market before we bring out our product. Not, oh, you don't want our product, so we won't make it. No. What they're saying is we have control of the governments of the world on some degree all over the place, especially in the third world. And we're going to keep working until we push this and force this on the world. And once the world is willing to accept it, we're ready to roll it out. They're doing the same thing with beets. Now, you might be thinking, I don't eat a lot of beets. Eat sugar? See, a lot of our sugar is produced today not from sugar cane, but from sugar beets. It's one of the biggest seed crops for sugar production in the world. So, again, what I'm saying is that if you look at the crops, and you look at beets, and you go, that's kind of the arbitrary one. We got wheat, we got canola, we got soy. These are major, huge crops. And then you go, beets, they're not a huge crop. They're actually a very big crop. They're a huge, massive crop on a global production scale for the sugar that they provide. So, what would we go to next? Corn. All right? Now, with the GMO corn, they're not content to just make a Roundup Ready corn. No. They also built a pesticide into the corn. They took a naturally occurring pesticide from another plant and spliced it into the genes of the corn seed so that, like, if a corn borer eats it, it dies. All right? And then they want to put this Terminator gene into this corn. So here's what they want to produce. A corn, right, that's Roundup Ready, that you can spray with Roundup and it won't die, so that they can sell more Roundup and spray the crap out of the ground and drop this toxic chemical all over the place. And it's generally done through crop dusting spray from aircraft. We're talking massive. There's not a guy walking around with a little pump bottle. All right. Huge spray. Right? Develop super weeds that I'm sure they'll develop another genetic solution to in the future. Right? So they can keep selling that. Then on top of that, they want to put a pesticide in the corn. But don't worry, it won't hurt you. It only kills bugs. And then on top of that, we'll put a Terminator gene in it so the corn kills itself. Now, anybody that knows anything about corn knows that it is one of the most widely cross-pollinating plants out there. When you drive by a cornfield, you'll see all those little pretty tassels across the top of it. That's where the pollen comes from. And corn is wind pollinated. And that pollen can go for miles through the wind. So when they release this corn, and this corn is already being grown, all right? It's already being grown. Anywhere they grow it, any crop within at least a mile is in danger of infection, and then in danger of Monsanto coming in and trying to sue them for theft, for putting the crap into their corn that they didn't want, and in danger of then passing the gene on. And it's like you tell somebody, they tell somebody, they tell somebody, like the game Telephone. Now, the amount of infection starts to kind of decrease as you go. Just like Telephone, the message never ends up the same at the end, but the results are there, and they're not good. And when you take things that are dominant traits like this, the ability to withstand fertilizer, okay, it's more likely to get passed along. So all of these things are coming together to create a very dangerous situation, and now they're tampering with our corn. Right. Now, next thing that they're tampering with, cotton. They're rolling out genetically modified cotton. It basically works the same way as the corn. Cotton weevil eats it, it dies. Spray it with Roundup, it doesn't die. Terminator gene, put a Terminator gene into it eventually, you can't save a cotton seed. If you save a cotton seed, it'll kill itself. Now, you might be looking at this going, cotton? That's not food. Cotton's not food. You make shirts out of it. You know, and this genetically modified food, is it going to hurt me through my shirt? Probably not. I don't think it will. All right? But here's what most people don't realize. There's cottonseed oil in more food products than you can imagine. There's cottonseed oil all over the place. You pick up any box-produced food, center of the aisles of the supermarket, and see how many things you can find with cottonseed oil, and you'll be shocked. They're putting this crap into the cotton supply now. And again, cross-pollination, even the people that choose not to use it will eventually have it thrust upon them through cross-pollination and infection of crops. And then these farmers, again, risk Monsanto coming in and shutting down their farms or suing them or charging them a license fee. But there's something here that's being missed in the cotton market. There's a product called a range cube. And I know about range cubes mostly not because I'm a farmer or a rancher, but because I'm a fisherman. And range cubes look like great big giant rabbit pellets, huge rabbit pellets, a couple inches long, about as big around as a big thick 50-gauge cigar. And they're made primarily with cottonseed. And you feed them as a protein source and a supplemental feed to young calves to speed their growth. Most of the cattle in America at some point or another are fed on range cubes, at least at some period of time. So this stuff's going into our cattle. If you want to know why I know about them as a fisherman, if you take a few handfuls of these things and throw them in an area where catfish congregate, they're a good chum to bring catfish into the area as the cottonseed oil and the cake material is released. The channel cats will come in and pick on it, but since it's really small stuff, they won't fill up on it, and you'll be able to then throw some bait in there and catch them. So that's why I know about them. Again, not because I'm a cattle rancher. I've never really been in that business, but that's what range cubes are. That's what our cattle are eating. And there's a lot of products out there that are fed to cattle that have cottonseed in them. So we take genetically modified cotton with a Terminator gene, a Roundup Ready gene, and an insecticide. We feed that to our cattle, and then we eat beef. Over time, you start to realize here that, this stuff's kind of scary. And you also have to start looking at it this way. There's an old philosophy in farming and ranching. Let's say I have a great big field, and I'm growing soybeans. Now, obviously, I wouldn't want a bunch of cattle tramaging through my soybeans and causing damage to them, maybe eating some of them, but basically trampling them into the ground. Now, you buy the land next to me, and you want to put cattle in your pasture. Whose responsibility is it to contain the cattle? It's yours. No, this almost never ends up in a court because it's so understood in the agricultural community and agrarian societies that if I have cattle, it's my responsibility to fence them in, not your responsibility to fence them out. See, what Monsanto's been able to do in the court is totally reverse 10,000 years of agricultural, agreement among societies that I'm responsible to fence my threat in. You're not responsible to fence it out because they're not fencing in their genetically modified product. It's able to go wherever it wants. And here's the scary part. There's almost no way it could be done. You'd have to grow it in a tent, and you'd have to transport it in a sealed container. And it would still have the potential to get out. But yet it's growing in fields all across the United States of America. And if that wasn't enough, here's the real scary part. It's not just what they're doing to our food. It's that they're taking possession of our food. Ever since they've been allowed to patent these seeds that they, genetically manufacture. And it's one thing that they can do that, because on some levels it's like a pharmaceutical. They've touched it. They've done something to it. I get why it could be patented as a produced item in a laboratory. I don't agree with it, but I get it. Now, how you can enforce the patent when you allow your crop to infect mine, I don't get, but we've allowed that. But at least we're still talking about genetic modification here. What they've determined, what the patent law offices have determined, is that it doesn't matter if you develop something, it just matters if somebody else has ever patented it. So what they're saying now is if a seed has never been patented, whoever patents it first owns the patent. So what Monsanto's doing is going through government food banks, taking strains of wheat, barley, squashes, peppers, all these things, some of which have been grown for thousands of years, that should be in what you would call a public domain. And if nobody's ever patented them, and if they've never been declared as a public domain crop, then they're taking their high-priced attorneys and running a patent through. Now they own the seed. So what happens is a seed that grows a type of barley that farmers in Iraq, who we supposedly went to liberate, that's been there for thousands of years. The actual seed was developed in Iraq. And this is going on in India. It's going on across the world in third world and fourth world nations. These crops that the countries themselves developed, they were the very first ones to develop them. Monsanto is patenting these seeds and going in and using the United States' influence to impose U.S. patent law globally. And getting global patents in place and telling Iraqi farmers, you can't save your seed anymore. Yeah, we came to liberate you from Saddam Hussein. Isn't that great? By the way, you now have to pay us thousands of, dinar a year to have license to the seeds that you've been growing in your own family for 100 generations. Nice, huh? And they're doing that with all types of crops. So you might be sitting here going, oh, this is another one of these shows where Jack gives us all these problems and doesn't give us solutions. I've given you the solution to this problem over and over again. And I really want you to understand it, and that's why I took today to talk about it. The solution is, and I want you to do this right now. If you're driving, you can only do it with one. You got to do it peripherally. If you're sitting somewhere, I want you to do both. Look at your hands. Stare at your hands. See your hands with some dirt on them. Visualize that. That's your solution. That's why I spend so much time on gardening. That's why sometimes you think, is this a survival podcast? Is this Jack's organic gardening class, you know? Well, the two can't be separated. The one thing you can do is you can take control of the food that you eat. You can take control of your own food supply. That if everybody does a little bit, we can leave some of that genetically modified food rotting on the shelves. That this is the only thing that you can do to protest this. You can write letters to President Obama. Who knows? Maybe he'll do something about this. Maybe it's one place he and I can agree. But I doubt it. Because I listened to the Secretary of Agriculture under the Clinton administration going, yeah, we saw this as a problem. We couldn't do anything. The Secretary of Agriculture said I couldn't do anything. So the Secretary of Agriculture can't do anything about this. How are we going to do something about this? By picketing, right? By running around chanting a bunch of slogans with signs that make it sound like we're in the fifth grade. Hell no, we won't eat it. Hell no, I mean, come on. Have you ever listened to protests and just listened to people and went, God, you guys sound like idiots. You guys sound like a bunch of children in a cafeteria refusing to eat your freaking macaroni and cheese. Well, I'm saying refuse to eat your macaroni and cheese if that macaroni was made with genetically modified wheat. But don't sit around and chant about it. Do something about it. Take an action. And that small garden in your backyard, an 8-foot by 8-foot plot that grows 10% of the food you consume, actually freaking matters. Don't let anybody tell you it doesn't matter. Don't let anybody tell you you're not making a difference. If you grow some herbs on your windowsill, you're making a difference. It's that basic. Because once you start to do it, the whole world will start to open up for you. You'll start to understand how much you really can do. And a pot hanging with a tomato growing out of the bottom and a pepper growing out of the top isn't that far behind. That'll be your next step, even in a small, cramped area. Sooner or later, you'll figure out how to grow a lot. Sooner or later, you'll start reaching out to your community and you'll find other people. Sooner or later, you'll realize you don't have to go to Kroger to buy a pepper. You can go to a farmer's market. You can buy locally grown produce. There's people that want to sell it to you. You'll realize that it's just a few window boxes, you can grow a salad a week for the rest of your life. Green salad, anyway. A couple tomato plants will produce more tomatoes than you can eat. You'll be giving them away. You'll be spreading the infection. Resistance is fertile, my friends, in the words of Jules DeBase. Resistance is fertile. Plant a seed of resistance. It may be the only way we can turn this thing back because there's so much money behind it. There's so much power behind it. There's so much corruption behind it. There's so much of a fascist interweaving of the United States government and the workings of this one company that it's almost impossible to turn around in the courtroom. Now, there is some stuff going on to try to put an end to patented seeds. I hope it succeeds. But I have my doubts because when in the war room of the courtroom, the person with the most money generally wins. Check out O.J. Simpson. He's walking around free today. He's basically said, you know, if I did it, which means since I did it, right, and I got away with it, I can talk about it. That only happened because of how much money the man had. If he'd have been anybody else, he would have went to jail for the rest of his life or possibly been executed if he was in another state. Justice would have been served, but justice was subverted by the person that could afford the better attorneys. And I just don't know that there's enough money out there to really stand up to Monsanto. But there's enough money in your pocket to not be spent on crap that they make. And you have to start looking at some other things. Some of the seed companies that I've done business with for years, I can't do business with anymore. And maybe I'll publish a list of them, but a lot of seed companies have been purchased by Monsanto, including some of the really, you know, long, been around 100 years. Some that my family's done business with for generations. I can't buy from them anymore. If Monsanto makes it, I will not buy it. So, what I'm saying today is understand that as a survivalist, the most important thing that you can do is ensure that you're going to have something to eat. And you do that through your own production of food. And you have to understand the threat to really be motivated to do something about it. I've heard people in forums say that sometimes I talk too much about the threat and not enough about the solution. My view is if you don't get the threat, you're not motivated enough. You don't understand enough. There are two films I would like you to watch. One is, I think, The World According to Monsanto. And then the other one is called The Future of Food. They're both available to watch for free on YouTube. Watch those and see if you don't change your attitude about how important this stuff really is. How important it is to grow a little bit of your own food. And my challenge to you is when you grow a little bit, see if you can grow a little more. And then see if you can grow a little more. And see if you can grow a little more. Find good, solid companies that refuse to sell genetically modified seed. Do business with them. Spend your dollars with them. It'll keep them in business. Learn to do some of your own seed saving. Make some relationships locally. Do some exchanging of seeds. Visit seedsavers.org. Learn more about saving seeds. Because if we all do a little bit, we can make a difference. And this is something we can make a bigger difference with than just about anything else out there. Because it's one of the few things that you have 100% total control over. No one's showing up at your house and forcing you to eat a genetically modified organism right now. It's up to you to educate yourself so you know where the risks are. So that you don't eat them. It's up to you to educate yourself to know the things that Monsanto's touching so you cannot spend your money with them. Take the money you save, spend it with organic producers. And make a difference. I hope this episode has been enlightening for some of you that don't realize how big the threat is. When I first heard about genetically modified food, I'm like, it's the damn tree huggers whining and bitching about stuff that's being used to feed cows. And And when I really looked into it, I learned how severe the threat was. And what really got it for me was when I realized that there was absolutely no way to contain it once it was out there. That as soon as you put a plant out there with a gene that doesn't belong in it, it will begin to do what plants have always done, reproduce and spread. And that we need to put an end to this. And the only way we can do it is as individuals working collectively to make a collective impact. This has been Jack Spearco with another edition of the Survival Podcast, helping you figure out how to live that better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream, and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.